from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Play ball!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The World Baseball Classic is awesome. I cannot wait for Venezuela to play Team USA tonight.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Earlier on the show,
winner of the Players Championship, Cameron Young.
Coming up,
ESPN college basketball analyst, Jay Billis. ESPN NFL draft analyst, Matt Miller. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. It's Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday coming up here on the program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. It is March Madness, and we love being part of the ESPN world for March Madness for the first time in the 11-year history of this program, which means we don't have to sneak around and use ESPN's site without them knowing that we're utilizing them for a bracket competition. Right, Chris?
You
want to tell people how they can get involved in the bracket?
Yeah, go to ESPN's Bracket Challenge, men and women. Search Rich Eisen Show, one word, all together, and join our group right now.
Yeah, Cooper and Xander have already put in their brackets.
Against us.
Taylor will be doing it tonight. One individual picks every game and pops his predictions on ESPN.com every single year. And this individual did it today. I read from the preamble that he wrote before giving his predictions. I read this quote. Last season, my bracket was chalky. I had all four number one seeds reaching the final four, Houston and Florida advancing to the championship game, and the Gators cutting down the Nets. The backlash was swift and unrelenting. I was criticized for not picking an underdog to reach San Antonio, but when the dust cleared, all four number one seeds reached the final four, and the Cougars and Gators battled it out for the title. You're welcome, and I forgive you, all of you. End quote.
Yeah, buddy.
And he joins us right now here on the Rich Eisen Show, Jay Billis, the wordsmith and predictor. Yes. Did I get that right, Jay? All of it?
You did, and your University of Michigan should be proud of your comprehension and your reading skills. That was excellent.
Oh, I picked up the meaning, sir. I picked up everything in between, everything dripping from every syllable that you typed into your keyboard. I like it. You spiked the football, to use the analogy, Jay.
I don't know when this started, Rich, but when they asked us to start picking games, I was against it because I don't know who's going to win these games. And so, but people seem to love this part of it. They want to know who you think is going to win. But if I knew who was going to win, I would move to Vegas and sit by the pool with a drink in my hand.
Yeah, buddy.
Like I was in Goodfellas or something.
And drinks are on the house there, as we all know. So I did read everything that you wrote, Jay. And it's interesting. You have neither Michigan nor Duke reaching the Final Four. Why do you think that, Jay Billis?
Well, I chose Iowa State, which is in Michigan's region, just to piss you off. And
you succeeded, Jay. You got it.
Yeah, and to appear objective, as I wasn't just targeting you, which I am, I took Michigan State so that you wouldn't get upset thinking that I was a homer Dukey. And yes. I picked Duke last year and was correct. Duke's got a couple injuries that they're dealing with right now. And I do think, in all seriousness, I think they got the most difficult region. So look, these are kind of flyers because I think this year is going to be different. I don't think it's as chalky, but who knows where the, if we knew where the upsets were coming from, you know, this would be easy, but Michigan State's really experienced. And I kind of went with that, even though I think Duke is a better team. If it were a 7-game series, I'd take Duke and Michigan to win their regions, but it's not. It's a 1-game and out thing.
So you've got Michigan State knocking off Duke and Iowa State knocking off Michigan. You mentioned why Michigan State might be successful in that regard. What do you like about Iowa State, Jay?
You know, Iowa State played unbelievably well in the Big 12 tournament. They're playing their best basketball. They're great defensively. And, you know, they score almost 20 points per game off turnovers. And they've got a shooter named Milan Momcilovic, who is from Wisconsin. But, I mean, he's like a Dirk Nowitzki-type shooter. He shot 50% from three on the season, and he's made close to 120 of them. And it might be 120. I don't know the exact number after that last game. But, I mean, he scored 9 points in a minute before halftime against Arizona. And Arizona's Jaden Bradley hit a buzzer shot to move Arizona to the championship game, and they wound up winning it. But that was one of the best basketball games I've ever seen. It was such a high level. And I think Iowa State, the only problem with Iowa State, the only, you know, issue that they have is they're not a great free throw shooting team. And in a close game, you know, maybe they clang one or something. And that's the difference between winning and losing.
You choose Arizona to cut down the nets. I give you the floor on what you like about them to win six.
They're unbelievably talented and they're big. They won their conference tournament. They won their conference by a couple of games to the Big 12, which I thought was the best conference in the country. They're not a prolific 3-point shooting team. And it's not that they can't shoot. It's they choose not to. They want to play inside out. The only thing that you could go, wait a minute, I'd be careful here, is they've got three freshmen in their starting lineup, and those guys play really big roles for them. I don't think they play like freshmen. But last year, Duke had three freshmen in their lineup and was a play or two away from playing Florida for the title against Houston. They didn't handle the last minute or two of regulation very well and wound up losing. But it's more like Arizona's been among the most consistent teams. They only lost two games this year. They were back-to-back at Kansas and then against Texas Tech full strength when Arizona wasn't full strength. At home and you know, it, like the consistency of it, like consistency doesn't necessarily help you in the tournament, but they were the most consistent team, them and Duke, throughout the course of the regular season. And I think that matters.
Well, I mean, one of the things I love about the tournament too, Jay, is we see a player who can be dominant come to the fore that might not get a lot of run throughout the year. In terms of national exposure, give me the names of a couple players that you're looking forward to seeing hit this spotlight and potentially go on a nice run and get their name in a few headlines, Jay.
You know, there's one in particular. Like, one of the questions that I think we get a lot is who's the player that can put his team on his back and, mm-hmm. and carry to a national championship, kind of like Danny Manning. People felt like Danny Manning did in 1988. And they're really year to year, aren't that many of those guys. But this year, there's a player at Arkansas as a freshman from Detroit, Michigan, mm-hmm. named Darius Acuff Jr. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, Rich, that dude is the real deal. Like, he's the first player since Pete Maravich to lead the SEC in both scoring and assists. And in conference games, he averaged like 24.5 points and 6.5 assists. And he was unbelievable in the SEC tournament and in the championship game against Vanderbilt. I mean, he had 30, and I don't even think he played his best. So I think when people – he had 49 points earlier this year against Alabama in a game that went to multiple overtimes. So I think people that haven't seen him as much will watch him going, wait a minute, why isn't he being talked about as the overall number one pick in the draft, along with Darren Peterson of Kansas and AJ Dibanza of BYU? He's I think we're going to look back in this draft and go, why did Acuff Jr. go so low? And he's playing with a bum ankle. He's in a boot most of the week when he's not playing. I don't know how much he's practicing, if at all. But if not practicing makes you play like that, I don't think anyone should go to practice.
Yeah, I mean, his foot looks fine to me, certainly when he's breaking it off in people. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he's doing right now.
I mean, he's like a – it's like trying to guard a fire hydrant that's attached to a Ferrari. It's unbelievable how he's built, how strong he is, and he's a great finisher around the basket over size. And then he's got a 3-point game, a middle game, transition. It's remarkable. It's jaw dropping to watch him play when he's playing his best.
You know, Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yesterday, I was talking about Calipari and Patino, and of course, you know, me being me, I made it a little bit about myself. Because yesterday was my 30th anniversary of my first ever SportsCenter. And it was a round of 32. And I might have done a UMass and a Kentucky highlight that day as Calipari was kind of coming to the National Four for the first time as a babyface coach there in Amherst. They made the Final Four. And then Patino won it all, cutting down the nets in Kentucky. And it's just amazing that you got, you know, Calipari now the champ of the SEC tournament and Patino the winner of the Big East tournament, still doing it, and they could go deep in this tournament now, Jay.
No question.
Unreal.
No question. Like both of them, I think St. John's was probably underseeded as a five in the East. It's just a really tough bracket. I mean, that's sort of the national champion bracket. Seven of the top eight seeds. I think St. John's is the only team among the top eight seeds in the East that hasn't won a national championship in its history. You know, UCLA's got 12 and Duke and all this stuff. I mean, it's crazy. Kansas is in there. It's crazy how many
UConn
national championship coaches, UConn coaches that have won championships in this century. It's ridiculous, or this decade, I should say. It's ridiculous how difficult that bracket is. But, you know, Patino is in his 70s. And Cal's not far off from that. I think you and I have talked about this. Like, I grew up in Los Angeles, and I'm 62 years old. And when I was in grade school, I think I was in fifth grade, John Wooden retired at the during the Final Four in 1975. He announced he was quitting after the championship game when they played Kentucky in the title game. And he was 65 years old, and I thought he was the oldest man that had ever lived. And now these guys are going well into their 70s, and Patino's really energetic. I wish he'd stop wearing that white suit. But other than that, like, what do you got to complain about?
That's right. It is true that Duke got, I think, hosed by the committee here. Michigan State's another one, right, with a national championship. As a matter of fact, that's the last Big Ten team to win it all was the Mateen Cleaves Izzo-coached Michigan State Spartans. But John Shire has already matched Roy Williams in numbers of ACC championships in his career in his first 4 years. And I'll give you the floor on what he's been able to do post-Coach K now entering this tournament as the number one overall seed, Jay.
You know, Rich, I'm not impressed by John Shire. I'm awed by him. I don't know how old he is, 37 maybe, something like that. He might be younger than that. But for a guy that age to have this level of maturity, and the one thing that stands out above all his abilities, X and O, leadership, whatever, is he has always known exactly who he is. And he's gonna coach to that. And he's not trying to be Coach K or to emulate Coach K. Certainly, he's taken principles and lessons from Coach K. We all have. But he's not trying to be that. He's doing things a lot differently than Coach K did. You know, his offense is different. Coach K had a thing maybe his last 20 some years where he only hired former Duke players as assistants. John's not doing that. He has a couple, but he's brought in people from outside. And so they have some different experiences and thoughts. He's very intentional about everything he does. It's really impressive because that you know, following a legend, especially when you're a quote unquote family member that has to do it. We haven't seen a lot of success in that model. And they not only got the right guy, but they got the right one out of their stable, which, you know, North Carolina did it with Roy Williams when they brought him back from Kansas. But that's unusual. That is not the norm. And just an incredibly impressive guy whose demeanor is fantastic with the officials, with the players. He always seems to hit the right note. He's just a remarkable, remarkable coach and a great guy.
Well, he should have great demeanor with the officials, Jay. They're always on his side, you know?
Man, you walked
into
exactly.
That one,
Jay.
Especially against, well, but especially against Michigan. You know, but look, yeah. I mean, Right. You know, you have to give the officials a break there. I mean, they're human beings, and they need to hate Michigan as much as the people who know you hate Michigan.
But you're
the problem. I think the thing, Rich, you need to acknowledge this.
What's your
is that there are unbelievable reasons to love Michigan. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great school, great people. Yep. I think the reason that people hate Michigan is you.
Wow.
If you would kind of let go, if you would let go of this maize and blue thing, I think people would actually like Michigan. Mm. You're the problem. You're kind of the Steve Wojciechowski slapping the floor that led to the Duke hate.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll take that.
Yeah,
Wojo.
I'm the Wojo here. No, that's okay.
You're Wojo.
Somebody's got to be. Okay. I appreciate that. I'll take that as under advisement.
Also, is that kind of a shot at Woj for slapping the floor? He's saying that was unnecessary?
Yeah, please. No, the Duke's only slapping the floor to play zone. Come on, now.
Hey,
give me a break.
All the guards at Duke that used to get credit for slapping the floor, they do it out front, and then they'd yell at the big guys for not blocking a shot or grabbing a rebound.
I love it.
Like, it was total show. Hey. Like, they would slap the floor and look at us and say, you do it.
In the few minutes I have left with you, Jay Billis, let's have a little bit of fun here. I tuned into the ACC championship game on Saturday night, Virginia and Duke, expecting to hear your voice, and instead pleasantly thrilled and surprised to hear the voice of Dick Vitale calling the game. A little bit of gravel in there, but still at age 86, awesome with a capital A, man. And he's doing the first four game taking up between NC State and Texas tonight with Charles Barkley. I mean, Dick, he's awesome, man, with a capital A, Dick Vitale. That's all I just want to say, right?
Remarkable. I mean, remarkable. I mean, we've both known him for a million years and had the honor of working with him. But I do hope that on the broadcast tonight, they do us a favor. Like, I think what would be great is if they had Barkley and Vitale, but only had one microphone, and the two of them have to fight for it, because like, people don't understand, like, Vitale is scrappy. And if he has to fight for the microphone, I think he'll kick Barkley's ass, especially the fact that Barkley is wasting away in front of us. Vitale now has the size advantage. And if they have to fight for the microphone, my money, like, Vitale would be a number one seed.
He would, and Brian Anderson could be the Mills Lane of that tug of war. You know what I mean? Like, he can handle it. He can.
Exactly.
Handle it.
Just give him a standing eight count every once in a while and let him go. And then who cares what happened in the game? We'll read the paper tomorrow.
I love it. And I have to ask you this before I do let you go, for real, Jay Billis. What is the story behind the Bill Raftery desk name sign that's over your left shoulder?
Oh, yeah.
Jay, what is the backstory of that, please? What is that?
So I called the last college basketball game in the Meadowlands. It used to be called Brendan Byrne Arena.
Yes, sir.
And they hosted that 96 Final Four you were talking about with Calipari and Pitino. Mm-hmm. So the last game was Duke versus Butler, back when Brad Stevens was coaching Butler. And it was a game that Kyrie Irving got injured in and didn't play again until the NCAA tournament. He only played 11 games that year. So when I went into the arena for the day before the game practice, because it was the last game, it's almost like they were cleaning everything out. And I walked through one of the corridors, and there's a guy in there cleaning out an office. And he says, hey, you're friends with Bill Raftery. Like, this is his old office. Do you want anything out of here?
No way.
And I looked around, and there were a bunch of empty bottles, which I didn't need. But there was this crappy old nameplate on his desk, and I go, this is it. And I put it in my backpack, and it's been in my house ever since.
Awesome. Does he know you have it? I imagine.
Oh, yeah, he knows, because his daughters see it every once in a while when I'm on one of these things.
Yes.
And everybody gets a laugh out of it. But yeah, Raf said, what are you doing with my nameplate? Like, give it back.
Too bad. Finders keepers.
Exactly. You know, exactly. I mean? He abandoned it.
It's all fair in cleaning out an office in the old Brendan Byrne Arena. Man. Jay, thanks for the time. Look for more of my texts and ask you to come back here. 2 cents on everything that's going on in this tournament. Have a great one.
Looking forward to it. And congratulations on 30 years since 1996.
I will take it. I will take it, man. I still can't believe it. And the fact that some of these other guys like Coach Cal and Patino are going strong, just like you too. When did you get there? When did you
95. Get there? 95. Right. I'm a year ahead of you.
Okay. Congratulations on 31 years. Long time since you were in the white shadow.
Yeah. Long time since both of us had hair.
That's correct.
It's pretty clear we are aging before everyone's eyes.
Jay, I appreciate the time. And like I said, I will take your criticism under advisement and then thoroughly ignore it.
It's not criticism. It's truth.
Jay Pellis here on the Rich Eisen Show.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen here. Always great. That Nat Raftery nameplate. Fantastic. I would take that too and never give it back. Fantastic. And by the way, tonight, Brian Anderson with the call, Dick Vitale and Charles Barkley with the analysis. And it is apparently the first game that Dick Vitale has ever called in the NCAA tournament.
Wow. What?
Yes.
Yeah, he was never put out on loan by ESPN.
Right.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Age 86. And I will say this, because I did reach out to see if he would join us later this week. And he is supposed to only do one broadcast a week on doctor's advisement. Mm-hmm. And apparently the doctors are not happy that he's doing another one this week. So he's hopefully going to join us later in the tournament. But you go, Dick Vitale. Him and Barkley tonight, NC State, Texas, for the right to play on in the NCAA tournament in the first four.
One mic. That's a great idea.
And Brian Anderson can handle it.
Go back and forth.
Brian Anderson can handle it. But what a brilliant idea. Let's get Barkley and Vitale calling a game, and in comes Brian Anderson to have to make it all work. And he will. I cannot wait for that tonight. That's must-see, along with the WBC final.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, man. Lots of stuff to watch tonight. Sure. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday when we return.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
In my line of work, I'm fortunate enough to travel quite a bit covering the biggest moments through the football season. While I'm on the road, I sometimes miss the comforts of home, which is why when I travel with my family, we always check Airbnb for places to stay. It's our home away from home, providing the comfort and safety that allows us to wind down and relax. Families like mine are looking for homes that fit their needs to make new memories in, and your home may be exactly what they're looking for. If you're looking to save up for a new addition to your house or a once-in-a-lifetime trip to see your favorite band in another country, for instance, hosting your house on Airbnb could help you reach those goals. It's easy to list your home for short trips or extended periods of time, allowing your house to earn you some extra money. Make your home work for you while you're away and enjoy the benefits of hosting on Airbnb. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right, it almost feels wrong. Because right now, you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid and the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Plus, there's our bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech. Or go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway sales event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
Back here on a Rich Eisen Show, radio and TV all together. Fun interview so far. Jay Billis right there accusing me of the reason why everyone hates Michigan. And we had Cam Young on earlier. I got a text from Billy Andrade.
Oh.
Yeah. Driving to Tucson now to play on our Champions Tour. What's up, Billy? Great interview with Cam Young. Love that you're all locked in. All the best. Congrats on your Wheel of Fortune win. What he texted?
Wait, you're friends with Billy Andrade? How about that?
You didn't? Well, yeah, I did. I went to the first celebrity tournament I ever was invited to outside of the Jimmy V because of ESPN was the Andrade Faxon event in Rhode Island.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. That's where I met Sandy Koufax for the first time.
Oh.
Shut up.
Yep.
It was because I did mention to him that apparently he dated my mom.
I just wanted to
let my mom. My mom went to like a sock hop with him, I think.
I want you to appreciate something. You know the story
you love making
that you once said about how Keith told you like every day tell one joke less.
Yes.
Okay. I've been doing that.
Yes.
And earlier in the show, we were talking about people that your dad knew, and I was gonna say something, but I didn't. So I want to let you know that I have been paying attention.
You had.
I do tell one less joke than I really wanted to.
Okay.
And now that's my way of getting that out.
But now you still got the joke in.
Well,
yeah. Well, I did mention Sandy Koufax.
You mentioned
that. I did mention. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Rich Koufax show.
Well, anyway, what's up, Billy Andrade? And plus, I got to be, you know, in a way, channeling my inner Jim Rome, where people tell me how awesome my interviews are,
which you definitely love.
Epic.
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines. Garrett in Portland, Oregon. What's up, Garrett?
Garrett, what up, man?
You there, Garrett?
Garrett. Yes, I am.
What's up, bud?
What up, though?
Hey, I wanted to give you guys a quick list of the AFC, NFC folks that I think are going to make it, especially with the new trade we just learned about this morning.
Okay, so what do you mean folks that are going to what do you mean by do well? We got to set this up a little better. What do you got?
Yeah, I wrote down a list of everybody I think that's going to make the playoffs in both conferences, and I wanted to see what y'all thought about it.
Okay, so you have you have a list of 14 team names that you wish to deliver to us on the Rich Eisen Show about the playoff teams in 2026, and you are delivering this on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes,
that's what you're doing right now.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
All right, Garrett. All right, do you want to start with the AFC? And just read them off.
So the first
read them off.
Teams,
just
no particular order are the champions.
Okay.
Okay. Great.
Go for it.
Bills, Ravens, Texans, Broncos.
Uh huh.
And then Pats, Jags, Chiefs, and if any of those teams injure out, the alternate is the Titans.
Titans are the dark horse. All right, and then the NFC.
Yeah. Rams, Packers, Panthers, Giants.
Hold on. Rams, Packers, Panthers, Giants. You got the Giants winning the NFC East.
With their signings, they look good.
Okay.
Got to give them that chance.
And your wild card team, sir?
Yep.
Eagles, Bears, Niners, alternate Cowboys for you, TJ.
Wait, Eagles, who?
No, you got Eagles, Bears, Niners.
Eagles, Bears, Niners.
Niners, and the alternate is
the station hits hard, then the Cowboys.
Okay.
Who was the fourth one from the Rams?
I've got it right here. So in the AFC, Garrett in Portland delivering this crucial information to us on St. Patrick's Day that by the end of the day in the NFL regular season, the Bills, Ravens, Texans, Broncos will be division winners with the Pats, Jags, and Chiefs being your wild card teams. And his one more is Tennessee. And then in the NFC, it's Rams, Packers, Panthers, Giants as division winners. Eagles, Bears, Niners as your wild card teams with the Cowboys as one more. I get that right, Garrett?
Yes, sir.
All right, Garrett. You're now officially on record. Thanks for the call.
I was wrong last year on Devontae Adams and Puka both being over 1,300, so let's see how it goes.
Okay, let's see how it goes. By the way, that's very humble of you. Thank you, Garrett, in Portland. There we go. I kind of dig that. Anybody else who wants to be on record, have at it. But Garrett's in on St. Patrick's Day.
Trying to find
how many of you think he's got going to get right?
Trying to find some pushback here.
Bills,
well, there's a lot
Ravens.
Of pushback.
Well, so here's the other thing.
Come on.
We know half the field turns over. So how many of these are new?
The Ravens are new, and the Chiefs are new.
Okay.
Jags, Pats, Broncos, Texans, Bills all make it again.
Okay.
The Giants are new, and
that's it.
Yeah, the Cowboys would be new. And same thing with the Titans. We're just including the seven.
Those are the injury.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, three is
odds are he's four shy of
three
being
is too
right.
low. Hey, we need at least two or three more turnover.
Yeah,
yeah,
you do.
That's just science.
But boy, oh boy, the Ravens making it and the Giants making it. The fact that if that happens, that they bounce Harbaugh, make it. And the Giants hire Harbaugh, make it. That would be of interest, I think. The Chargers are out. That I find that hard to believe. Chargers are making the playoffs, guys. I will say that right now.
I don't know, man. You think the Chiefs are back in, right? And you think Denver...
I don't know if the Chiefs are back in. I need to know what Mahomes is looking like.
Well, they have Justin Fields now.
Stop it.
Ooh.
Please.
Disrespect. Get out of
here. This disrespect is not disrespect. It's just, come on, Chris. Really. I know you're having fun with that. You're having fun with that. But the Chargers are going to get arguably the two best tackles in football back on their line. Healthy. Come on now.
They are a
come on now. And an offensive coordinator like Justin Herbert's never had. Like Herbert's never had. And arguably Harbaugh's never had, to be very honest.
Okay. So you're saying one seed then?
I'm not saying one seed at all. I'm saying they're going to make the playoffs. Your Patriots, sir, are going to have a totally different world.
They also have a better roster.
Okay. Really?
Wow.
You like Dobbs as an upgrade over Diggs?
I do.
Okay. Good to know.
Man.
Good to know. A guy who's never had 1,000 yards receiving against the guy who's got...
Talking about disrespect.
I'm not disrespecting.
The AFC champs. They literally were in the Super Bowl. I know everyone forgot because the game didn't go great. But
right.
Wow.
But,
and teams generally go back to the Super Bowl.
No. I'm not saying...
Last time the Patriots lost a Super Bowl, you know what happened? Let me just check the notes real quick. They won it the next year.
And what year was this?
Who was the quarterback?
Who's the coach?
Who is the quarterback?
Tom Brady, Drake May, Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one guy should have an MVP if it wasn't for someone in this room.
Hold on a second. Yeah, okay. And that aged poorly. That aged really poorly, having Stafford be the MVP over Drake May.
Oh, sorry. We'll play it
real
poorly every game.
All right. So they're playing the Broncos again, the Packers, the Vikings, the Steelers. The Bears, the Lions, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Seahawks, the Jaguars. That's who the Patriots are playing this year. You know what they didn't play last year? A lot of those teams. We'll see. I wish you nothing but the best. I want you happy.
I
want my wife happy.
Actually,
I want my my youngest son happy. I want some of my in-laws happy. No, seriously, I want all Patriots fans happy.
Yeah, just not when it comes to football.
No, I'm fine. I don't mind
be
it.
Be happy
it's,
in life.
It's no skin off my nose.
It is.
I don't care.
Because no, they're
it's
in
not.
Division.
It's great. In the same way I'm accused of being somebody apparently who makes people hate Michigan, you, sir, are at the front of the pack when you're talking about the Patriots.
Well, at least my team wins.
I got it. See? Right there. Right there.
I mean, your team just won the Natty, though, so.
I got it. Let's take a call and then we'll do Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday when we come back, because we just went down a nice little fun little wormhole right there.
Lions, think the Lions make it next year?
They've got a way to go. I need to see what their trenches look like. Drew Petzing's the new OC there.
I'm just throwing out possible teams. Falcons, Jaden Daniels is gonna be healthy,
course,
Commanders are gonna be back
course,
in the mix.
Of course.
So,
again,
you know,
on average, 6 to 7 new playoff teams every year. Right. Our caller was about 3 to 4 shy.
Yeah.
So you're saying there's a good chance for us then, Brockman, right?
I'm saying the Cowboys could win the division. That's for damn sure.
I think his alternates could also make the Titans and Cowboys could make it on their own.
Jimmy in San Antonio. What's up, Jimmy? What's going on, brother?
So, yo, what's up?
What's up, man?
Hola, muchacho.
Hey, I filled out my bracket for everyone who hasn't done it. It's the one word, Rich Eisen group or whatever.
Rich Eisen show. Yeah, with no spaces.
No spaces.
No spaces. We don't need spaces.
Someone did one with spaces. Did you see that?
I saw that. We don't need no stinking spaces.
Spaces?
That's not nice. We don't blue checkmark that. Unless that's something you set up years ago and it's
It might have been
there.
The old one, but don't use that one.
No spaces.
No spaces.
We don't need no stinking spaces.
Well played, sir. I get that one.
Thank you.
All right. I need the Maserati Mold King's help. Start right. drawing up the paperwork.
Maserati.
I first called this show over 4 years ago because that McDaniel coach was intriguing and funny in his interview, and I said I was taking Miami as the AFC team I would support. I am out.
No.
Oh. Sign it.
Don't
oh.
do it.
Oh.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Stay with Miami?
Yeah.
No. Get out, Jimmy.
No. This year, listen, they're taking their medicine, man. They are taking their medicine. The roster, as it was constructed by John Eric Sullivan's predecessor, clearly is not the way they want to do business. And they have torn it down to the ground, down to the studs. And they are taking their salary cap medicine this year. And will they win the Super Bowl this year? It is unlikely, sir. But you need to give this coach and general manager the opportunity to see what they can do.
The only reason I wouldn't do it worth saving is Devin Achane because he's a fighting Texas Aggie. But I like seeing Susie happy, not Brockton so much. But maybe I jump to the Patriots.
All right, Jimmy, that's your choice.
I like your in-laws that I've never even met.
No,
why,
I know.
Why don't you want some
they're
of
awesome them? People. They're all awesome people. You know, they're all great. They are. What? I didn't go higher register. I'm like, no, you'd like them.
It's not you laughing at. We're laughing at Jimmy.
No, I didn't do it. I'm like, no, you would really get along. I didn't do that at all. I legitimately looking directly in the camera for those listening on the radio. I love my in-laws.
Okay, so stay with Miami. Just go through this crap year next year.
Yeah. I don't think it may not be a crap year.
Yeah,
you think it's over 7 wins?
No.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, me either.
I saw a meme on the old socials today of some guy throwing a football in the air, running down the field and catching it, that's going to be Malik Willis this year.
Bro, you know who that is. It's Mr. Perfect.
Oh, is that okay? I saw that and I'm like, listen,
Kurt Henning.
I get it. I understand it. Let's see what they do in the draft, and let's see what this coach can cook up. And they had it. They clearly
fair. I raised
saw
my shoulders. I didn't go high register, but that's fair.
Jimmy, they've clearly saw the way business has been done and decided they're done with that.
Is
and
this
they have
a big
raised
Troy Aikman effect? Is this a Troy Aikman effect?
Let's see. Let's see. I would trust him,
Jimmy. Their Vegas win total's 4.5.
I'd take the over on that, dude. Come on now. That's disrespect being real right there.
I might bet that they actually tie a game next year. They're going to be so awful.
Okay. Everybody, I don't know. I dig this coach. I dig him. And that's the end of that.
No, I don't get a lot of clients. I don't need you talking my clients out of this.
Okay, very good. Thank you. That's the Mold King, ladies and gentlemen, has chimed in. Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it. That's Jimmy in San Antonio. Let's take a break. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, as promised, when we return here on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't you go anywhere. Matt Miller, top of the next hour. Talk about the reconfigured draft order.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Sometimes teams take a timeout to regroup and call the right play. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always has the winning game plan. They're not just window and door experts. They're experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs, and their experts install them. They do it every day, and that's why your neighbors trust them. Discover why Pella is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen. It's a Tuesday and Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Guys, how are you? Hope you're well. We had to add a couple topics today because of the breaking news this morning, so let's get right to it.
Yes,
after trading for Jaylen Waddle, the Broncos are the best team in the AFC.
How do you not think that that's not an overreaction? They run it back for a team that damn near made the Super Bowl. Bo Nix comes back healthy. Now he's got somebody who the Broncos really, I ask a Broncos fan and you tell me who's been as fast as Jaylen Waddle this size. Well, they also have somebody like Cortland Sutton. I mean, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since they've had weapons like this. R.J. Harvey's going to be better. The defense is really didn't lose much other than Dre Greenlaw, who they willingly let walk. I know John Franklin Myers is gone, too. But other than that, I mean, why not? Let's roll. The thing I'm wondering about is, you know, Sean Payton announced he's giving up play calling. Wondering if he's just like got his finger on that chess piece, similar to like, is that an Eric DaCosta backseas situation here?
Backseas? I think Malik Willis wish he could Eric DaCosta right now.
All right. I don't know about that. Get out of here with that nonsense. But I'll say this is not an overreaction. I mean, others can improve and get better. Denver's first draft choice isn't until late second round. So night one, just smoke them if you got them. They've chosen to run it back, and I don't blame them on every front.
Yeah, agree.
What else?
So yesterday on the podcast version of this segment, you know, I threw out there that Malik Willis is going to end the Dolphins playoff drought. I said this, he's going to be the one. The Dolphins haven't won a playoff game, I think, since 2000.
Right.
And, you know, he's going to be the one to do it.
Right.
This season. Well, that was yesterday.
You had your finger on the chess
piece
on that
one? You know, yesterday's topic, yesterday's topic is not today's topic. After trading away Jaylen Waddle, the Dolphins are going to have a top five pick in the 2027 draft.
This is the exact polar opposite.
Well,
to go from breaking the playoff win drought to not even winning enough games to get out of the top five.
I'm guessing like Willis, the Dolphins didn't let me in on their plans to trade away one of their best players.
You know, it's funny that the cap hit that they're going to take, dead cap hit that they're going to take this year is in triple figures because they're splitting them up over, you know, different years. It's not all $99 million this year for Tua.
Right.
But it's over $120 million of dead cap money because there's no Minka, there's no Tyreek, there's no Jaylen Waddle, there's no Tua, there's no Chubb. Those guys are all gone. And everyone's being like, well, that's the way you're tanking. They're not tanking. They're reconfiguring. There's a difference. They are raising it down to the ground. They're like the Chris Greer way of doing things. It's not the way we're going to do this. In order for us to establish the way we're going to do things, we need to raise this thing down to the studs. But there are still some studs there. And there is a stud new head coach. I think this is an overreaction. 100%.
What happens if they have the first pick next year?
Oh, if they have the first overall pick next year?
Yeah.
That would be great. Because then we're going to sit there
for Malik Willis.
Well, unless he performs well enough and all these other teams that are being accused appropriately of tanking might go and knock on Miami's door and give them a Carolina Panthers to Chicago Bears deal. You know what I mean? And the Dolphins might be wise to take that and have Malik Willis, who, if they see enough from him, have him under a contract that is dirt cheap. And they could really utilize that. And all these teams that are tanking could actually package their deal to get that first overall pick. The problem for the Jets in that regard is the Dolphins would raise the price through the roof because it's in division and they're not doing that. Like, that would be the very wrong team for the Jets to have the first overall pick when the Jets could choose to have, if they don't get the first overall pick on their own, they would want it to be owned by somebody that doesn't desperately need a franchise quarterback.
And have five QBs in the top 10 next year.
I understand the way next year's draft looks like, but I'll call this an overreaction for the moment. What else?
Rich, let's talk about your favorite team. Justin Fields is going to win at least one game next year for the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's not an overreaction. That's not an overreaction. Again, he damn near won week one for the Jets and looked terrible for, you know, more often than not after that. He won week one. He didn't win. He won week one for the Steelers the year before. He can win a football game. He's not incapacitated. And the Chiefs are going to coach him up. And if Mahomes isn't ready, will he start and win at least one? Is that what you're saying? Or will he help win at least one because he's coming in instead of Kenneth Walker getting the ball, in comes Fields.
Ooh, a Fields package?
I don't know. That would be silly if you're taking Mahomes off the field. What else you got over there?
49ers added another wide receiver to the room. Obviously, Mike Evans in free agency.
Yeah.
Surprising move. Christian Kirk added to that room.
That's right.
Brock Purdy's going to be an MVP finalist next year.
Pump the brakes on that one. And I know he's my son. He's one of my sons. I get it. Christian Kirk was a nice ad. Do you think Nick Bosa got excited for a split second?
I don't.
Okay. So Brock Purdy being an MVP finalist? That's a tall order. That's a very tall order. Certainly when McCaffrey is going to be one of those guys anyway. I think it was a nice ad for the Niners, who are potentially going to lose Juwan Jennings. They've already lost Kendrick Bourne. I like Christian Kirk. You know, when he's healthy, as the Texans saw, he can be a difference maker. I thought that was a nice hire by the Niners. But that is a bit of an overreaction.
Our last one before we hit the radio out, Rich.
Yes.
The Olympic hockey tournament was awesome, right? USA winning both gold, men and women. But the WBC has been better than the Olympic hockey tournament.
Okay. I mean, I do love the WBC, but, you know, the Olympics are the Olympics, man.
Well, bro, Bryce Harper said the Olympics aren't as...
I got it.
I don't know. I think this was... Wow.
Well, Team Venezuela and Team Italy are going to make the Olympics now. So I don't know if that means Vinny's going to be out here trying to win a gold medal in a couple of years, but I'll call that an overreaction. Okay. And I love the WBC, too.
WBC's been awesome.
All right. Well done. Well
really
done. We tell the radio audience we'll see you in a few.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.